This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring a discussion on India's online gaming industry, economic potential and growth trajectory. The participants are Jiten Kumar Jain, IT expert, and Nishit Kumar, anchor.
Online gaming has taken the world by storm of late, and it seems to have caught the fancy of one and all. To discuss the various facets of the genre, today we are delighted to have with us Jiten Kumar Jain, IT expert. Jitinji, first of all, tell us what is online gaming and what is it all about and where do we find its origin?
The original, you could refer to the games which we were used to play on, computer and laptops. But with the evolution of smartphones, high-speed internet, and then motion sensor on the mobile phone, we have seen the rise of mobile gaming applications across the world. You know, they have reduced the need of joysticks. The phones have themselves become the joystick. And with the availability of high speed, 5G and other 4G internet, you are seeing the rise of multiplayer games. Because of the screen size and the resolution of games have become much more effective. And in a way, we are seeing transformation from these standalone games, which used to play on television with video games, to then laptops and computers, to a new era where all these multiplayer games with, great resolutions and special challenges, special effects, are being played on mobile phones and smartphones. Mm-hmm. And that is what we are referring to online gaming today.
All right. So, as you say, it has really caught up big in these current times. So, what's actually the size of this industry? And if we may say so, how far has COVID actually continued to this growth story? Now, when I say COVID, I also say because when we see that the sector has actually seen a CAGR, that is the compounded annual growth rate, of almost 28% between the financial year 2020 to 2023. Now, this is humongous, Jitinji.
If you look at several studies across the world, the market size today, the global market size is roughly around 400 billion. And out of them, if you look at studies carried out by Indian industry, maybe Indian market is around the size of, let's say, $4 to $5 billion. So we are contributing around maybe 1 or 2% of the industry. And our market is going to be around 6 to 7 billion by 2028 in next 5 to 6 years. And the global market might touch to 400 or 500 billion. Mm-hmm. So, and when we're talking about this, CAGR of 28%, see, all online sectors have grown at a similar rate during the COVID years. Because people were sitting at home, more and more online innovations were happening. People were not going to the playgrounds. People were missing doing a get-together with friends, playing in a park. People resorted to more and more online gaming. They were having this shared streaming of movies where friends were logging onto the mobile phones at the same times and watching a movie together. But gaming was much more of a natural experience, especially with the evolutions of games where you could not only play together, but you could also interact with each other on the voice in real time. So you could hear each other in the real time. And that has led to a phenomenal growth and innovation in the online gaming industry. So the card games, the real money games, the multiplayer games, they are going across the world at around rate of 25 to 30%, and this is going to be a normal for the next decade to come.
All right. So what are the other growth drivers for this niche sector now and also, of course, for the coming times?
See, growth driver A is the availability of game without any special resources. 10 years ago or a decade ago, if you wanted to play a multiplayer game, I mean, you had to have a joystick, you had to have some setup. Everybody could not afford that. And even if you were to buy a, other solution like playing a game on a computer, only maximum one or two player could play together. Because, not everybody had a good high-speed internet connectivity, not everybody had a computer. But imagine a scenario today where almost everybody has got a mobile phone. And almost every mobile phone has got a good resolution. Across the world, especially even in developing countries like India and Brazil, the internet is available at a very high-speed connectivity today of at least 100 Mbps speed, even on 4G and 5G connections. And then you have got the innovation and resolution and the challenges of game, the look and feel and the surreal experience, the real-time immersive experience of game. People are playing even in metaverse. So that immersive experience is leading to a phenomenal growth where without needing any specialized equipment, you are just able to take out your mobile phone anytime sitting in a metro train, sitting idle in a taxi or in office or at home. And you are able to play with other real players instead of a computer or a bot. Other real players at the same time, and if they are your friends, you are able to also converse with them in real time by voice and video while playing the game together. So that immersive experience is leading the growth of this industry.
Jitinji, if you recall earlier, we used to play online games, the video games, TV, on mobile as well. But now there is a seismic shift, if you may say so, with the money factor coming in, and money is pouring in large quantities. So if I may ask you, what demography is generally driving the industry's growth, and are adults as well also a part of this?
See, that is an opportunity as well as a challenge. And as far as real money gaming is concerned, this segment, I think, is growing. I mean, today it is almost, I would say, contributes to 80% of the entire online gaming industry's revenue. We have more than, I think, almost around 500 startups today which are dealing with real money gaming applications. Now, this is also a challenge because we have seen people getting addicted to the games, then teenagers using their parents' credit cards and debit cards to buy points money and, you know, play the real money games. Adults are getting hooked, and that is where the society is debating that, you know, what games are game of skill, what are game of chances. Mm-hmm. Because once a game leads to an addiction, and if it is a real money game, you are literally playing a casino, or you are literally gambling with your money. Mm-hmm. And that is also a great challenge which industry has to address, which government regulators have to address. But as of today, I think this real money games where the real money is involved. I mean, for example, I mean, you have to put 100 rupees, 200 rupees, 500 rupees and put that as a bet while playing with other players. So those real money games today, you know, almost accounts to 80% of the revenue of the entire industry, even in India and across the world also.
So how big has IPL, Indian Premier League and other such leagues actually contributed in this growth?
See, when we talk of real money gaming applications, there are two kind of applications we are looking at. The card games, the multiplayer games, or games where other players are involved and you are playing together and one of you might win. Then there is a different category of game where multiple people in a way are predicting, or say, you know, I would say doing a digital gambling based on a game or an event which is not in their control. So somebody forming a team based on IPL match which is being played, and then looking to see that who performs better or which player performs better. Mm-hmm. So there's been a debate of in a society whether it is a game of skill or whether it is a game of chance.
Chance, right.
Earlier, because of a couple of high court judgments, some of the gaming industry players were able to get a judgment where they said that even this online games involving cricket and IPL were a game of chance. And there was other section of society which always had a view that what people are doing with these games is nothing but a digital satta, because this is essentially what other sattorias are also doing. But I think that debate is almost settled because government has now clubbed all online games where there's profits involved, and they have put together them in a category where 28% tax is involved.
Right.
And mind you, in India, 28% tax is only imposed, or GST or tax is only imposed in the games of lotteries and all, or gambling. So they have, in a way, indirectly classified as a game of chance.
If I were to ask you, and on a broader scale, how much percentage would you impute skill and chance as well to any particular game in any such online gaming?
To be very honest, in my personal opinion as an expert, any game where, let's suppose if 10 players are playing and the outcome of the game depends on the performance of those very 10 players which they are playing, then I would call it as a game of skill.
Okay.
Or let's say even the game of chance. But if the outcome depends on an event or a possibility or a match or a player who is not a part of those 10 people participating in a contest, then it is purely a game of chance. I mean, 10 people playing a casino and somebody is throwing a coin, these 10 players do not contribute anything. It is purely sheer luck where the coin or the ball will fall.
Yeah.
Likewise, if you are playing this game, I mean, no matter which team you choose, ultimate event or ultimate outcome depends on the performance of a player which is actually playing the game, who is not a participant in this online.
Right.
I would call anything which is dependent or not on the performance of the people who are participating in the game is a game of chance and should be classified as a gambling or a casino or a whatever game, and should be taxed at 30% and should be controlled, should be regulated.
Now, you talk of discouraging these kind of games. So tell us more about the legislative and the legal position in India about this industry, and how is it regulated here actually?
See, we do not have a separate law dealing with digital gaming. We had a public gaming app of 1867 from British era, which actually deals with this lotteries and gambling and all. So that is the law which regulates in our game of chances. And then we have IT Act, where now with the new IT rules, we are defining what is game of skill and what is game of chance. So that is a stop-gap arrangement where government has formed a body with the industry where they are saying that everybody has to get a certification that, look, we are a game of chance, we are a game of skill. And people who do not have that certificate from that body about they being the game of skill will be treated as game of chance and will be taxed at 28% or, you know, the highest level of taxes.
Right.
So anything which is not classified or certified as a game of skill will be treated as a game of chance and a lottery or a gambling.
So as on date, do we have any codified law in the law books wherein these online gaming could be regulated at the moment?
No, we don't have. We have an IT Act, and under those IT Act rules, government has notified few guidelines where they formed a body with the industry. And they are saying that, look, this is a body, if you're an innovator who has developed a game, come to us, tell us what your game is actually doing, what logic is involved, what algorithm is involved. And if you are satisfied that there is no luck involved, we will classify it and certify it as a game of skill, and you'll be taxed less, and that'll be a real digital game. But if you're not able to satisfy that this is a game of skill, or this involves your personal skills or, you know, some sort of talent, then this will be treated as a game of chance, sheer luck, lottery, and will be taxed at 28%. But this is only a stopgap arrangement. We need a separate law which deals with the problem of addiction, okay, which deals with the limitation of real money which can be involved in a game, which can deal how many number of hours a person can play, how much money can be involved, about the financial strength of that person. We have to then also see that how much skill is involved in that game, and if that game is a game of chance, at what rate it is taxed, so that people in a way are also regulated and discouraged from investing their lifetime savings in those games. And at the same time, whatever money is, you know, invested by the players, government gets an appropriate share of tax for public good out of those games without affecting the overall growth of industry.
You touched upon a very important point of innovation. Now, how can this industry, if at all, be leveraged for startups and, of course, their contribution in the growth of the Indian economy?
Yeah, I'm telling you, the game of chances or the real money gaming applications today are contributing to 80% of the entire industry revenue. We have more than 400 gaming startups which are dealing with real money games. And all of them have been struggling with the absence of regulation. And once you have an absence of regulation, people do all hanky-panky things. They try and classify each other as game of skill. They try and save taxes. Then try and find shortcuts. They fall short of law. Then they are harassed by regulators. Then they go to courts. This industry, mind you, is providing employment to 1 lakh people today. Mm-hmm. It's not a small amount.
Yeah.
And it's going to grow to 3 lakhs in the next 5 years. So this sector is growing. It will bring in more revenue. And Supreme Court also, they have said that all these petitions which are pending in different courts about the taxes of TDS, GST and the classification of online games, all of them will be clubbed together. They will be treated as one bunch of related petitions and will be heard to provide a clear, you know, regulatory guidelines in the country. And government is also, you know, talking to various stakeholders. So I think we are at a point where the industry needs to be regulated. Industry also has to realize that just in the sight of blind growth, they cannot do away and they cannot sideline the social responsibility these games developers has to comply by. They have to ensure that society does not fall prey or fall addicted to a particular game and you don't do anything just because making revenue out of it. So there has to be a responsible development, there has to be a responsible gaming, and government, they don't have to control, but they have to regulate this entire sector for sure.
Yeah, Jitinji, lastly, where do you see this industry going from here in future with more compliances, technical and legal complexities bound to dot the landscape here and there?
See, I think once the Supreme Court gives all the judgments, once the taxation issue is settled with the GST Council, I think industry will settle for a sustained growth. Right now, this growth is not sustainable, especially in the absence of clarity in the taxation law. And what is also leading is that a lot of Indian gaming startups are leaving for Western countries where the tax regimes are more stable.
Mm-hmm.
Also, one of the biggest challenges in this industry is that 70% revenue today is not accounted for. People are running websites, casino and gambling websites sitting in Cayman Islands, Mauritius,
mm-hmm.
and all these websites are accessible in India. 70 to 80% people are playing on those websites. Government is not able to block them. And that 70 to 80% unaccounted revenue does not fetch any taxation to the government. There is no regulatory oversight.
Right.
So I think this is a singular challenge government has to first tackle. And this cannot be tackled if you do not have a global acceptable regulatory or taxation regime. And one last point I would like to make. I think India has been a home to Vedic games since ages. I think online gaming also has to encapsulate the concept that gaming has to be responsible. It has to bring out the best of a kid. It has to impart education and knowledge while playing a game.
Right. Thank you so very much, Jitinji, for having joined us and shed invaluable inputs on this topic.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on India's online gaming industry, economic potential and growth trajectory. The participants were Jiten Kumar Jain, IT expert, and Nishit Kumar, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on a mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289-094044.